Hello, and welcome to episode 94 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
And this week we are joined by fellow Hex Dimension writers extraordinaires, Lucy Cokes and David Hurd.
Hello.
Hello.
As ever, you can find show notes for this episode over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. If you want to comment here, you can find some links to social accounts, you can get in touch and ask us questions, comment on the show, by email at contact@nerdassemble.co.uk. And if you've downloaded this episode from the site but would like an alternative method to listen to it, we are also available on Stitcher and iTunes. But what the heck are we discussing this week, Paul?
Well, apparently your presenting style.
Oh, yeah.
I was thinking alternative methods of listening. Would that be like vibrations through the jawbone, things like that?
Perhaps, or, sort of like you get some really big speakers, you put them down on the ground, flat on the ground, obviously, get us playing through them.
And then listen through your feet.
Or feet, or, you kind of stand a mile away and put your ear to the ground. Kind of listen.
Sort of disaster area style.
Yeah,
I was thinking exactly that, actually. Carrying on what we're going to be discussing today, Quebec looks less sweet for games development. Sixth Resident Evil movie, quite you, could be the last. Yeah, we've heard that before. Fan communities go ape shit. Can we really say ape shit?
It felt like
you just
it.
Did. You just did.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
You no,
just
we can't.
Said it. So there you go.
Sorry. Fan communities go apeshit after Nathan Fillion could be in Guardians of the Galaxy. And our feature for today is surviving the 2014 Steam Summer Sale.
Excuse me, I'm just going to load up Steam in the
background. No, we've had enough problems getting this call working without bandwidth being drained.
Oh, you're there, Retroid. Can you just gift me?
Quebec is looking less sweet.
I really hope I'm right now, actually.
Yeah, is looking less sweet for games development because the government there has decided to deal with some of its deficit and the spending that has perhaps led to this situation, which includes these generous subsidies to games studios. Because, it's been pretty sweet over there for games development in terms of like monetary perks.
And they got quite a lot of companies moving there, didn't they? Setting up there.
Yeah.
They did.
So Ubisoft's got a big presence there with Ubisoft Montreal, as is Eidos Montreal, there's WB Montreal, and BioWare's also based there. It's kind of a big deal because a lot, it wasn't just big studios like that, but a lot of mid-sized companies as well. They've been kind of moving out there because it's like, money, basically.
Let's forget Silicon Knights there as well.
Yes. Yep. Silicon Knights, that went well.
Yeah.
That sounds like you've got a story behind that one.
Silicon Knights?
Well, then the whole, slow disintegration of the company.
Yeah, yeah. No, I realise that.
We've discussed that disintegration before.
Yeah.
But yeah, the cuts are such that subsidies have been reduced to the highest they can go now, I think, is maybe something like 24%, but a lot of people will be having them for lower than that. And so it's part of the provincial government's plan to save $2.7 billion. Quebec is facing a deficit of almost $6 billion. So, meanwhile, in theory, our games tax relief is or hasn't been okayed by the EU? Where are we with that? Has anyone else heard anything on that since the EU were like,
nope.
Not sure if you can do that?
They just sort of wandered off, didn't they?
It just seems to have disappeared into a mountain of paperwork, never to be seen again.
I think it was kind of okay, but the cultural test's pretty strict still. That it could be a boon for the UK because of the fact that we have got our own tax relief system in place.
Mm. I mean, there's been quite a few UK studios that have kind of achieved notoriety recently. So it's interesting to see, basically, because I reckon that the bigger firms like Ubisoft and Eidos and WB may have second thoughts about being there, but obviously it won't actually adjust the smaller developers quite as much, actually.
I think another thing, but like somebody like Ubisoft Montreal moving, is that it's really freaking big. Like, I think
it costs them a small fortune to relocate now, wouldn't it? It would probably cost them a small fortune to relocate now.
Mm. So they're
especially with this moving staff and that.
Yeah. So they'd probably stick it out for quite a while, in theory.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you think about you're deciding against the cost of moving versus the amount of money that you'd lose from the, tax thing.
Mm.
It would depend, I suppose, as well as which other countries are now offering these kind of schemes to games developers and how much they're offering.
I get the feeling that maybe a couple of US states that had been offering them, similar stuff, have also had to cut back as a result of deficit concerns. But I can't be too sure on that. And also, speaking of money and games, what is this I've been hearing about Crytek? Anybody?
No? Oh, no, we don't know what you've been hearing about Crytek.
Tell us, what have you heard about Crytek?
I saw something on Twitter, they were suggesting that Crytek were near bankruptcy.
No, you... really?
That would be
ouch. Good. Yeah.
I don't know, but do not take this as, because this is, this was rumour at the moment, obviously, because the company hadn't actually,
announced anything.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, it's on Eurogamer.
On the plus side, if Crytek does lose, in business and whatnot, would that mean that Free Radical, or, its IPs like, Time Splitters, actually get bought up by somebody else, and we might actually have a Time Splitters 4, finally.
I mean, Crytek's kind of weird, because obviously one of their main businesses is trying to sell license for that engine of theirs.
Mm.
But then then they hardly ever bring out games themselves. And then, the Crysis games are a load of... Meh.
Well, wasn't the Crysis game... Well, the first Crysis game meant to be... Exactly, so it was basically a game to show off the engine, wasn't it?
The second game was alright. I didn't mind that.
And what was that? Was it Rise?
Oh, what, Son of Rome?
Was it Rise?
Yeah. Rise, Son of Rome. Was you it? Will be a gladiator playing with quick time events just to piss you off.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Connect.
But I've always been wondering since they bought who was it? The Free Radical IPs, basically.
Mm.
It's like,
to be honest, that only consisted of two, didn't it?
Why haven't they done Time Splitters?
Sorry, three. I don't know. I would love another Time Splitters. I want to be able to play as that little monkey just running around shooting people again. That was cool.
Didn't you?
Mates didn't get on with me whenever I chose the monkey. They call me a cheating bastard.
Wasn't there a game mode in, I think it was Time Splitters 3 in the multiplayer, where the person in last place gets a monkey on their team type thing?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so. I reckon that's quite a cool idea.
It was cool. The monkey was ace.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say, with the detour that I obviously instigated,
yes,
I will admit this.
Honestly, that's my job there.
is that things are looking interesting for a couple of the companies at the moment. That's what I was trying to say. Mm. I think I want to move
interesting in the sort of Chinese proverb sense.
Yeah. I would like to think it could be a boon for the UK, because a lot of more film stuff's moving over here at the moment as well. Because, I mean, film's got subsidies as well, depending on, again, whether or not it meets cultural tests. And
which, yeah, it's just...
But, for instance, Pinewood were given, I think, planned permission recently, or they were finally given permission to extend the studios.
Right.
And this is partly as a result and influence of Star Wars Episode 7 having a load of work done there. And they obviously needed the space because they were quite, you know, at capacity. So
with a sort of hair trigger dolls, that kind of thing.
And I suppose you need a lot of space to have Millennium Falcons that fall on people's ankles.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, maybe they need a hospital.
Yeah, they need a hospital on site.
It's the cloning facilities, just so they can keep copies of Han Solo on ice.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good idea.
In carbonite.
Yeah.
Well, if our government doesn't mess things up too much, maybe the creative industries in the United Kingdom could perhaps have more companies moving here wanting to spend money and provide jobs.
It would make sense for
games like No Man's Sky.
It would make sense for the games industry and the film industry, but not necessarily for the television industry.
Yeah, it's a different...
I don't know, because, I mean...
market, in a way.
I know Game of Thrones was
it Northern Ireland, isn't it? 75% in Northern Ireland, which has boosted their tourism industry by about 90%, apparently. Oh, yes. Guess who's going to Ireland next year?
And this is the bit where Sutton Such died. That's the bit where Sutton Such broke their leg. There's... the bit where Sutton Such got skewered by a bear.
Absolutely. And this was the bit where that lady got, done by her brother.
And such things like that, I suppose. Yeah,
we'll miss that out of the tour, I think.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm going to move us on to next story. It's the film series that doesn't want to die.
Yeah, it's almost become...
Become the next Police Academy. You can hear the
enthusiasm from the Resident Evil fans.
It is the Police Academy series all over again, isn't it? Let's just bring out another one.
I've never noticed any zombies.
To be like this, and the man who could make sound effects with his mouth.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Jonesy, yeah.
I've never noticed any zombies in the Police Academy series. Although that might have actually woken things up.
I think that was most of the cast and the writers.
The first few, right? It was when you got to 4,055, you know.
Yeah, but on the downside, it gave us Steve Guttenberg.
What's wrong with Steve Guttenberg?
I don't mind Steve Guttenberg.
Hang on. What's wrong with Steve Guttenberg?
Most of the films he's been in.
Blasphemy!
There's a war breaking out on the airwaves.
There is.
Okay,
we should name this the Guttenberg conflict.
I was going to say that the sixth movie, guys, the sixth movie that's coming out this year could be the last, because Anderson and Jovovich haven't confirmed a return beyond this movie.
That is...
Isn't that exactly the same press release they said at five and six?
Yeah, this is the thing, because, it made sense by the end of five that there would be a sixth film. We have seen the fifth film and can confirm that from a plot perspective, a sequel makes complete and utter sense. Whether or not the world wants it, is ready for it, can ever be ready for it, is another thing altogether.
So plot and make sense are not high on the list of things I associate with the Resident Evil films.
I think each time they've tried to do like a left turn with the next film, and it's ended up somewhere lost.
As I've said before, Resident Evil 2, the film, that was... was that Resident Evil Apocalypse?
Yes.
Was it? Yeah. Yes. That was a good film. So the first one, the second one, the good films. After that point, and sort of into a corner, crying.
The last one I saw was in Vegas.
Yeah, that's the third one.
Jesus! So I missed the two I've got to see.
This week. Yeah. Somehow last year's film, which we picked up cheap on Blu-ray, it made $221 million at the worldwide box office. Which is why they're making a sick film, because there's like, people still keep throwing money at it at the cinemas. And it's just like, why would you... Oh my God, because it was just a diabolical film.
I think there's beginning to be like almost like two levels of nerddom. The nerddom that just like, yay, sci-fi film, or yay, horror film and whatnot. And then there's the level which is like, no, just kill it now. Please, just kill it now. I know. I love the series. Kill it now!
Kill it with fire.
But, I mean, I don't know where they're going with some of this stuff, because, I mean, they've already planned sequels for a range of franchises already. Transformers 5 has already been commissioned. That's coming out in 2 years' time, apparently. G.I. Joe 3. I mean, have they actually watched the first two G.I. Joes?
Apparently not. And David,
well, I've seen the first one, and I apologise to my higher functions right afterwards.
David, what's the deal with Matt and the G.I. Joe films?
Well, basically, we went to see the first one together. And he said it was the worst film he'd ever seen, and I said it was a guilty pleasure. And then we saw the second one together, and he changed his mind and decided that that one was the worst film ever made, and the first one was in fact a guilty pleasure. So,
if it's on the TV, I'll watch the first one. Not a problem at all. The second one, I was just like, "What have you done? What's going on?" And then before watching any of them again, I have to admit I did a guilty pleasure and watched the original 80s film.
Oh, God.
Is that the animated one?
It is the animated one.
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter.
No, that one's a classic, that is.
There used to be remix videos of the G.I. Joe.
Public service announcement things, yeah.
Pork chop sandwiches. Sorry.
What?
I'm not sure if they're still
around. I
think
it was from, E-Bomb's World. That's how old they are now. But they're basically remixes of the public service announcements at the end of G.I. Joe. And
I always hated those in He-Man.
But these were remixes, though.
Yeah. So, for example, I think the original, one of the original ones, which was basically a guy grabbing a kid out of a fridge freezer.
What?
Yeah, basically as kind of...
Well, just to keep him fresh for later.
No, grabbing him out as in kind of he's seen him go in there and he's grabbed him out and kind of told him off because, you know, kids shouldn't go in fridge freezers and whatnot.
See, mine would be different. Mine would be, now Darwin said...
But no, they remixed it, so they've kind of run it backwards. So it's like, you know, he's kind of talking gibberish for a while. It's like, what's that guy saying? And then he just puts this kid in a freezer. It's like, blah, 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 blah. G.I. Joe.
Yeah, I don't. Awesome. Oh, we're gonna have to have a look if we can find these remixes, dear listeners.
Oh, we can. We can.
We will link to them in the show notes because you need these in your life. Seriously, I don't care how old they are now. Plus the age of the cartoon.
Speaking of being, old, Cookie.
Yeah.
Do you remember those public service announcement things at the end of stuff like He-Man?
Oh, the moral of the story.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. You know, an Orko would appear. Yeah.
Another reason.
What did we learn today, Orko? I learned that He-Man's a knob. Oh, good. Excellent stuff.
Yeah. We learned that He-Man had Skeletor over a fiery pit, but he saved him because killing is wrong.
But I still like the cartoon series, to be fair. It's just those bits I forwarded on.
Yeah.
To be honest, I remember...
I seem to remember them cutting them off.
Yeah, but then again, there was that. I was always thought I was that it was confusing anyway back in the 80s because you had.
A lot of things that were confusing in
you. You had Charlie the cat, who'd say. And he'd be on about you don't talk to strangers, you don't go anywhere with strangers.
I remember the Prodigy sampled that.
The next advert,
we'd
have a guy in a cape with skin tight tights on. Called the Green Cross Code Man, who's offering to show you safely across the road. And I'm thinking, hang on, I've just been told I don't talk to strangers, and why would I even want to go with a weird stranger in a cape and skin tight tights? What the hell?
It was the 70s and the 80s. Yeah. It was acceptable.
I've just imagined that
Tufty the Squirrel.
For instance, what if you had somebody who'd only ever watched 80s and some 80s cartoons with like the message of the day or moral of the day message? Yeah, they always watch that at the end, and their morals were completely based off 80s cartoons. And then you introduce them to 24, and nothing is black and white in that freaking series.
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't actually watched 24 yet, and as I've watched all the 80s kids shows. I'll do that this week for you.
But I'm saying that you have to have only ever watched 80s kid shows. only ever
to get your kind of moral compass,
would,
as it were.
Would that be including the like 70s and 80s public service announcements that, you know, were just filmed in the UK? Because half of those you wouldn't be able to watch anymore because they had people of questionable character presenting them. Well, oh, Jimmy Savile wants to teach me to swim. No.
Wait, where
oh, Jimmy Savile wants to belt me down in a car.
No,
really not. Really,
where
really
were
not
we? Resident Evil, Resident Evil, Resident Evil. If I say dead it three people times, rising. Fudge! It's like Beetlejuice all over again.
That's a wrong piece of imagery in my head now.
Actually, that's a question. How many times have we said the Bee Gees name on this series?
The Bee Gees?
No, the Mr. Juice. Oh. Mr. B.
I think not that many.
Beetlejuice.
Oh!
That's three times.
Well, Beetlejuice.
Yeah, that's four times. One more for luck.
See, I don't believe this shit is working.
I'm just imagining, was it the whole joking community? But I'm not going to spoil that because there's still more people that need to watch it. But yeah, Resident Evil, there could be a sick film. I may inevitably end up watching it on disc, not in the cinema.
No. The first one I saw at the cinema.
Yeah.
And that was really good.
Yeah.
It deviated from the game, but
in a good way.
Really? Yeah. The first one deviated from the game quite a bit, and that was the most true to the games.
Mm. Yeah.
But this entire section could have been, there's going to be a sixth Resident Evil movie, and we don't know why.
And what kind of a podcast would that make?
And then there's the possibility of a seventh if people allow this one to make money. Remember that. But this is not a simp sign that you should pirate it either, because they might decide, oh, it's still popular, because people torrented the hell out of it.
Friends don't let friends finance Resident Evil films.
If Sony can make a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog game, there's going to be a Resident
Evil.
Yep, move inside.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Live action.
Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Then I'm pretty sure Resident Evil 10 will be adorning cinemas in about 4 years' time.
Oh, God.
Nope.
I think I want to move on
to... I'm just going to continue saying no.
I think I want to move on to this bit of Fillion news, like...
Is there going to be a bit in the Sonic film where, you know, he accidentally, you know, goes by some old lady's house and, you know, has some, you know, milk and bread and gets lactose intolerance?
God.
As long as it's not directed by Michael Bay.
I want to talk about fan communities and Nathan Fillion, please.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Let's all talk about Nathan Fillion.
Yes, Nathan Fillion.
Okay.
He's a man.
Who likes Nathan Fillion? Say I.
Yeah.
Me.
I.
He's all right.
Firefly.
Right, Paul, get off the phone. You said he's all right. Get out. Get out.
We finally watched the, was it season 2 episode of Castle, where he dresses up as thingy
Space
from
Cowboy.
Yeah, to be honest, that was only at the first bit. I mean, from the people that I've heard, it was like, he was doing it all that episode, and it's like...
It was like the opening 10, 15 minutes most, if that.
Mm-hmm.
But that was interesting.
I have watched a compilation of Firefly references from Castle.
Okay.
There's including bits where there's no other reference to Firefly apart from his character will speak in Chinese fluently for no real reason whatsoever.
Huh.
And you say, oh, yeah, I just picked it up a while back.
The Philly news in particular that we're going on about is Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe I took personal issue with this story. But the other week, Latino Review, the source of dubious entertainment rumours for the past year and a bit, as far as I can tell, had somebody speculate that, Fillion was going to be in Guardians of the Galaxy. And then this kind of got hyped up disproportionately by geek site after geek site. And as far as I could tell, geek site after geek site, who didn't know how to link to their source, which was... Oh, I don't...
Geek journalism these days.
God, it's disgusting. And then it finally came to sort of like producers and directors kind of going, yes, he's in the film, it's a minor role.
Yeah, that sort of disheartened me when I found out he wasn't going to be Nova. That pissed me off.
Yeah, it's described as a brief cameo. But I was just like, it was just the way it just kind of exploded. I don't understand the way people like Nathan Fillion.
It's because he's brilliant.
It's because he's awesome. Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
But people keep saying, oh, he...
You've seen Dr. Horrible.
Yes. And I've seen Firefly.
And you know what the hammer was.
Yeah. But it's just the fact that they keep trying to also, like, cast him in other kind of geeky roles.
Well, he is a massive geek himself.
Yeah, but a lot of it doesn't make sense considering his build and age.
Shush!
So it's like, well, let's have him...
What's wrong with age?
Yeah. Yeah!
It's like...
No matter how much of a geek you are, Emily.
It's like having him as Green Lantern would have made no sense because he's too old for the character, for the time of life they wanted to depict him.
It wouldn't have been that Green Lantern film, which was shit.
No, I think he would have made a great Hal Jordan because
he would have been. Yeah,
I've got some of the old, like, you know, proper first, you know, like a bumper value book of the old ones from the '60s. And
but if they'd gone with,
I think he just fit right into it.
If they'd gone with the character, if they'd gone with the script that they still had and the age that the character has been depicted, it wouldn't have worked.
He'd have done a better job than Ryan Reynolds.
I'd like the extended version of the film.
A cardboard box would have done a better job.
They tried to cram too much into it. That was its main issue. Rather than the actual acting. Reynolds was okay.
And the story and everything else.
I think this is quite an interesting topic because it's kind of one of those things that, you know, the fan community as a whole kind of likes, but it doesn't like dissenters.
Seriously, everyone's trying to cast him with it. If there was going to be, like, if it turned out, right, that if it was somehow revealed, that Maggie Thatcher had been a huge Pac-Man fan, and there was going to be an autobiography of her playing Pac-Man, Nathan, because it would be a geeky film, Nathan Fillion would be put forth for the role of John Major. This is what I'm saying. This is the level, to me, of ridiculousness of the casting of Nathan Fillion happens in the world.
I think you've lost me there as well. I'm sorry.
This is, like, every time somebody says that Nathan Fillion should fulfil...
Margaret Thatcher is going to snatch up another private company.
No, not Nathan Fillion as Maggie Thatcher. What I'm saying is every time I hear about, but Nathan Fillion should play this role, which should clearly go to a different kind of male actor... In a geek genre film.
I still think he should be in Uncharted.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
He's still too old.
Nathan Drake in 4.
If they started with the fourth game, sure. Okay, but not the first.
So just out of interest, who do you've had as Green Lantern then?
Don't forget that, you know, we can have unknowns as well. Superman.
I would have had somebody that still looked younger and had upper body definition.
Ooh, what about, what's his name? Zach?
Zachary?
No, the guy that played Chuck.
Zachary Levi.
That's the one, Zachary Levi.
Could have worked. I haven't seen him play a straight character, though.
Can I just ask, is Green Lantern meant to be played straight, really?
He's meant to be a bit goofy, depending on which one he is. There's some of them that are a bit serious, though.
So, Hal Jordan... Because Nathan Fillion, comes off to me as a bit too much of a cool guy, in a way. I think it would be a bit like the situation that Batman and Robin had with George Clooney. George Clooney was too much of a cool guy to really kind of play Batman.
They just didn't give him a good script. They gave him stupid nipples on his
CEO. He had too much tan to be, you know.
There's just too much
Bruce
going
Wayne.
On with that. Yeah, there's just too much wrong with that film.
I was going to say, him being in it is the least of.
I want to explain, though, again, how people trying to cast Nathan Fillion in almost every geek male role in a film going sounds to me, and it does sound like somebody trying to cast him as John Major in a film about Maggie Thatcher playing Pac-Man.
I
no words.
I'm shaking my
but
head.
But see,
here.
This is because it sounds ridiculous, and that's what it sounds to me. It sounds freaking ridiculous when everyone's like, "Oh, Nathan Fillion should do this role. Nathan Fillion should do this role." But as far as I could tell, the entire Marvel universe, bar Black Widow and Pepper Potts and what's her face from Thor and that, should be basically cast. All the male roles should be cast as Nathan Fillion.
Memorable What's the Face from Thor is.
Okay, I mean, now I've just got this image of Nathan Fillion doing all the different kind of impressions of, like, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
You know what? I'd watch that.
But that's what the fan community sounds like to me every
totally
time.
I would totally watch that.
So the next question is Nathan
Fillion
geek porn?
I would watch a Wonder Woman
porn?
Film starring Nathan Fillion.
Maybe he is. I don't know, maybe they're all addicted to him.
To be honest, it's better than Johnny Depp being recommended for every role. So.
I know, it depends True. Which side, because it's like, it's more the...
Oh, well, wasn't Johnny Depp meant to be starring in something recently?
Somebody speculated for him for the Doctor Strange role, but yes. That has been confirmed, hopefully won't be. Despite his connections with Disney, I'm really hoping it'll be...
Well, his connections of making them millions and millions and millions.
Yeah. I'm hoping
I don't know. He went down in their esteem in The Lone Ranger, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah,
but that's.
Mind you, I'm surprised it took The Lone Ranger to do that and not Alice in Bloody Wonderland. Crumbs. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was all right.
I like that.
It's bloody ridiculous.
Hang on.
Hey, team, it was great to have that secret without Emily meeting before we did this. High fives all around.
But no, it's...
I think that might have... What's next on the agenda, Emma?
What people have been up to.
Pretty good thing that we moved
Thankfully, none of the things I've just been dissing are mentioned on the list of what people have been up to. So, David, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been trying to go through sort of all the old games that I played in my childhood. And revisiting them. And I'm currently revisiting a game called Freedom Force, which is a real-time strategy superhero game from early 2000s. And it's basically just sort of a parody of the sort of the 60s superheroes. So everybody shouts and talks about how patriotic they are. And all the levels are narrated by this guy with a... this really cheesy, over descriptive man who's just like, "Oh, the heroes get to the secret base, but they're too late," and then the level starts and things like that. And it just pokes fun at all the things that are wrong with comic books, but that we choose to ignore. And it's just a really sort of a love letter to the work of Jack Kirby and Stan Lee, really. So,
this is
a
RTS.
I've
never been a big fan of RTS games personally.
But yeah, it's just the way it's so sort of self-referential and doesn't take itself too seriously, and they've framed it really well, so it plays like an actual comic book. So that's what I'm doing at the moment, just revisiting that, and so that's pretty good.
Okay.
Strangely enough, I'm looking up Irrational. It was developed by Irrational Games, who, of course, did the System Shock and Bioshock games. I was not aware of this one.
No, Freedom Force. I remember seeing it, but I never picked it up.
Yeah, I saw it was there, but I don't think I was into PC gaming at that particular time, because my PC was crap.
David, you said that it was like going back to your... the video games that you played when you was a kid, did you say?
Yeah, obviously. About 10 years ago. So it's just, I'm just sort of revisiting those older games that I've not played in a while. So just seeing.
How old are you?
don't tell him a thing. Don't tell him a thing.
I was a teenager when it came out.
That's better.
That's
better. So, yeah. I was like, 2002? So that was yesterday.
2002?
Yeah.
Oh, crikey, my little boy was 1 year old that year. Yeah.
Dear.
That's when Lord of the Rings came out. Ah!
Oh, my word.
Lucy, what have you been up to?
I have been reading a novel. I've been experimenting with a genre which I think sounds really interesting, called Flintlock Fantasy. And it's basically a fantasy world with Napoleonic type technology. So fantasy with guns, basically. The Promise of Blood is the first of the Powder Mage trilogy by Brian McLeod. I can't say his name. And it's about this guy who's basically just killed the monarchy, and there's going to be a huge revolution, but at the same time, the world could be possibly overtaken by gods and stuff. I'm about a third of the way through, and so far, I still feel like I don't really know anything about how the magic works, but apart from that, I'm really enjoying it, actually, so it's really interesting.
Sounds pretty cool.
It is cool, yeah. Yeah, it was only published last year, I think, so it's quite fresh, and it's like unlike anything I've read before. And it's not like YA, which I've been reading loads of recently, so that's good.
I'm trying to think of the whole... Because you're sort of saying about the magic not being explained as sort of like much so far, and you're a third of the way through it. I think, was it Literary Disco? It was just a podcast. They had an episode about, I think, fantasy novels near the end of last year or the beginning of this year, and they looked at how it depends, that it does vary between fantasy authors as to whether or not the magic gets heavily explained anytime soon, and that when it does, it's just, you know, it takes up a huge chunk of the book, versus just people who just kind of drop in bits here and there as to how the magic works.
Yeah, I think it's definitely here and there. I think there needs to be a huge battle, and then it will suddenly become really clear, I think. I think the kind of mages are kind of describing it, but I think there needs to be a battle, and then we'll see how it works. And I think that will be the point where I go yes or no, depending on how I feel about it.
Okay. Retro, what have you been up to?
Well, I have been replaying two games. One is this is another old game. This is showing my age again. A game called Super Pipeline 2, which came out in 1985 on the Commodore 64.
And Amstrad.
Yeah, also came out on other...
It's pre-Chernobyl! Pre-Chernobyl!
Sorry.
Quiet.
It was a bloody good game.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
The Amstrad version. But, right.
Hey!
So they...
Nothing wrong with bloody Amstrads. Leave them alone.
I think everybody's getting defensive on this podcast.
We're leaving them alone. But ooh. I'm not going to. I'm too good for that. The idea of Super Pipeline 2 was a single screen game where a pipeline would snake around. The idea was... there's a tank at the top of the screen, which has to work its way through the pipes and fill up the barrels at the bottom of the screen. Once the barrels are full, that's the level done. You get a different screen with a different pipe layout. But there are various enemies and creatures that are running around on the pipes. Some of them are insects, which you can shoot. Other ones are rogue power tools, which will... drill holes in the pipe, and you can't fix the pipe yourself, but there are little workmen who are running around, and once you run past them, they'll follow you, and then you can escort them to a break in the pipe, and they will take a few seconds of banging away at the pipe, fix the leak, and the liquid will continue its way to fill the barrels. Now it's one of those where it's just a simple game mechanic, but it's done really well. And Jesus, it's 29 years old.
It sounds to me almost like the reverse of Blast Corps, or maybe that's just me.
I'm not.
Because you're destroying things in Blast Corps.
Yeah.
To let things get through.
It's kind of that kind of game mechanic.
Oh, I love Blast Corps.
Okay.
But
I'm sorry, that was as old and as close as I could get. I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks for that. An N64 game. Yeah. But it just works so well because you're running around, you can only shoot, you know, horizontally, you can't shoot vertically. So you have to time everything, find a good position on the pipes where you're going to be able to, you know, protect yourself, get to one of the leaks, and, you know, not get killed yourself because the little workmen, pals, they can get hit and, you know, by bugs or power tools, they'll just fall off and another one will come along in, you know, a few seconds. So they're kind of your, you know, backup lives. You can put them in the way. So there's a nice sort of strategy where you have to work out exactly, you know, whether it's worth losing all of them because you can only have two of them with you at the time. Just see if you can survive. And then see if you can get to a leak and hope that, you know, one of them appears close enough for you to, you know, fetch him and fix that. So I played this, you know, picked it up, Mastertronic 199 for my Commodore 64. I played it, you know, over the years and I've just, you know, dug it out again from the loft. And it still plays really well, which is more than I can say for my other game, which was the Walking Dead adventure from Telltale.
Is this season one?
This is season one.
Okay.
Now, there was a sale on the 361, so I picked that up. Would be about a year and a half ago. So, fan of the TV series, fan of the comics, you know, played this. I really enjoyed it, you know, just powered through all the episodes because I got them all at once. Really liked it. There was a Humble Bundle a little while back, which was a Telltale one where you got several of their games, including the first season of Walking Dead, for something like, you know, £6. So I thought, excellent, awesome. I'll buy, you know, get this on PC, and then when the second season comes along, I'll have played through the first season again to either keep some of the same choices I made the first time round, or see if, you know, what I can change with other choices. Now, I have bought the second season for it, but the problem I'm having is the actually playing through the game. Now I don't have the story to spur me on. It's just a real chore. And I'm finding if I don't have the what's going to happen next to push me along with it, all the game mechanics, all the limitations, either of the engine or the game, just, you know, the way they presented them, they're all just screaming in my face. And I'm only something like onto the second or third episode. The one where they're on the farm.
Okay.
And, yeah, I just don't know if I can be bothered playing through the first season again. And that's a real disappointment because I really enjoyed it the first time around. So I can only put it down to the story was, you know, blinding me to it.
Do you reckon that's a problem with story-based games, though, is that, you know, you kind of go through once and you know the story and you go through a second time round, and if the game mechanics don't, you know, hold up still that well, it's, yeah.
I think it can, but then there are other games where I've really enjoyed the story, like the Bioshocks. I've played those through several times. I've played the first two Bioshocks, even the second, you know, Bioshock 2 wasn't by Irrational Games, and I've also played through Infinite. It must be about two or three times now.
But by the same token, did the controls for you on those games actually seem well done?
Yes.
But it's not just that. It's like you can take on different strategies and stuff with those games. Whereas The Walking Dead, other than choosing essentially who lives or dies, is about as much strategy as you've got.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. It's just there's not much in the way of game mechanic other than push the cursor here. tap the button fast enough.
I don't
know, that kind of thing.
I don't normally recommend this kind of thing, but maybe Telltale should play some Japanese visual novels. Not the really risque ones, some of the tamer ones. Just saying. Yeah, because they quite often have multi sort of narrative paths and different endings by the bucket load. So,
yeah, and yeah. I mean, that's the problem I have, because I really enjoyed it the first time around, and I would say that when I played the season, you know, first season, I would say that was one of my games of the year at the time. Okay. So it's been a real downer to go back to it, and you know, in the and then I can play season two, but I've got season two waiting there for me, and the completionist in me doesn't want me to skip.
Yeah. Okay. Cookie.
So, yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Cookie, what have you been up to?
I have been up to I've been playing finally Borderlands 2. Never played the first one. Never got around to it, so I managed to get hold of Borderlands 2 off PlayStation Plus. And I thought I'd give it a whirl, and I'm actually quite enjoying it at the moment. It seems like a really nice game. It's just a shame I didn't pick it up when everybody else was playing it, so I could actually play four-player co-op.
Mm. If you've not, from what I've heard, if you've not played the first one, then you've done the right thing, you know, to play the second one. Because if you played the first one and got what you can out of the first one, a lot of my friends who were, you know, oh yeah, you know, really like this, were. It's just a bit more of the same.
I think we eventually blasted through the first one the other year, and then we got Borderlands 2 near launch, and then we were just like,
See, I'm loving the art style in that. Mm. Admittedly, I really want to shove something down Claptrap's throat to shut him up, but yeah, other than that, it's really good. I'm really enjoying it, to be fair. It's a good distraction at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I've got it both on PC and on 360. So unfortunately I wouldn't be able to play with you, but
has it been on PS Plus?
Yeah.
Yes. Fairly recently.
We might have it on PS Plus.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Yeah.
You're not gonna get
I have it on PS Plus.
That's true.
Because if something's on PlayStation Plus, gimme. Unless it's a sports game, in which case it can go to hell.
Oh, I don't know. I've been playing that NBA 2K14 still. I'm still addicted to that as well.
I've noticed you've been looking at what's going on with the leagues in NBA at the moment.
Yeah, I've been watching. I watched the finals the other day. You know, while everybody else was watching the World Cup, I was watching the NBA final. So it was really good fun getting back into it. I used to play it for school, so I used to play for the school team. So.
Paul, what have you been up to?
I have gone back on Team Fortress 2 a little bit.
This was inevitable.
Pots.
Yes. I mean,
Was that what the update was for?
What, hats?
Yeah, to give you more hats.
I don't know, to be honest. I keep on going through phases, you know, because it's one of the games that I kind of keep on going back to.
Hmm.
And there's a very good reason for that, and that's because it's all about the gameplay, and yeah, I kind of bought it quite a few years, well, about, I don't know, probably about 4 years ago now, for like £2.50 on the Halloween deal. I don't know, it's free at the moment, or will remain free as well, but it's something that I've kind of played through, you know, a couple of times, and obviously because of the nature of the game, it's a massively multiplayer online... Well, it's not massively multiplayer. It's a multiplayer online shoot-em-up. And, yeah, it's just incredibly well-designed. Unfortunately, though, I think one of the servers that I first jumped onto this time round, I was stuck on a team with no teamwork whatsoever.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah, so you're kind of going along and, you know, you're picking, say, for example, there's loads of, pyros, there's loads of engineers, there's, you know, got most other kind of classes on the field, apart from, like, say, for example, heavy.
Yeah.
And we're getting decimated. So I'll jump in as a heavy and then sort of, like, go to the front lines and, you know, you basically see an entire team on the opposite side, you know, kind of gunning for you, and it's like, medic? Medic?
Where are all the goddamn medics?
Exactly, and you know, it's like everybody kind of, well, everybody on my team kind of keeps on coming to the front, and you know, basically just shooting off. And
can you do a heavy impression crying for a medic?
A heavy impression crying for a medic.
Yeah.
Medic.
How was that?
That's pretty good. Yeah, we might.
We make good team.
We might deafen the few people. It's cool.
Kinky.
But, but yeah, I think that's one of the problems with certain servers. I know there's kind of auto shuffling or you know auto scramble on teams. I prefer those servers, which kind of enable like after each kind of match, then kind of teams get scrambled so that the good players get mixed in with the bad players and whatnot. So that's quite good. And I did actually have another little go at the basically you can record replays.
Oh yeah.
And you can kind of edit them and kind of change camera angles and speed up footage and all this, and then export the video. Well, so I was kind of playing around with that as well. I don't think
so that kind of thing will never catch on.
I don't think we tried. Well, I don't think I've tried actually using it since we've actually got better internet. So it's actually quite smooth. Kind of using it this time.
Where are you posting these videos?
Oh, I haven't posted any yet. I've just been kind of messing about, and I might, you know, kind of render some off and then. Well, I don't know what. I can stick some up on YouTube or something. It'll be fine.
What are you hiding in your personal private videos?
I wasn't going to go to that extreme. I just thought it'd be quite cool to see. And actually, because I've never actually played Team Fortress 2 because I've never really been a PC gamer.
Oh, so. It's really good. Unfortunately, when the Orange Box was released on both PS3 and Xbox 360, it could not do it justice because PC just has all the mods, all the updates, and you know, it's been updated so many times.
Player
that
numbers.
Oh, listen to him, PC fanboy.
No, I do miss the mods. I mean, when I was in Norfolk, I used to have a load of mods on. It just came out of Battlefield 1943. I used to have the Star Wars mod. Star Wars Battlefront appeared, funnily enough. That appeared about 2 years after the Star Wars mod that turned everything into Star Wars for you. The G.I. Joe mod, that was crazy. They even did a My Little Pony mod, which was fun for about 5 minutes, then I just got sitting there. Go away, silly people. But yeah, I do miss the mods.
Was that classic My Little Pony, or was it sort of like the quite worrying brony type?
Hey,
what?
My Little Pony. It would have been classic, yeah, My Little Pony.
Are you trying to tell me they've re-released My Little Pony as well now?
Yeah.
No, they haven't, and never Google it.
Oh, you evil.
Anyway, obviously, Team Fortress 2 is developed by Valve, and I think Emily's been playing another Valve game.
Do you know what? I think there's a bit of a Valve theme to this episode, but yeah, I finally played Half-Life for the first time yesterday.
Yay!
In between all my coughing and sneezing, which I've been trying not to do during this episode, I want to point out, I have actually got a cold that's been trying to kill me for the past week. But yeah, I played Half-Life for the first time, having only previously played a demo of the original game and been scared shitless by it, so I decided never to really go near the first game. However, I have played Half-Life 2 in all the episode. Because
so you have been the right man in the wrong place, making all the difference.
And the first Half-Life is just, I've got a piece going up on this Hex Dimension tomorrow, but it's just kind of, I was screaming yesterday, and not in a good way, and sort of saying stuff like, he's got no head, when I came across like one of my first dead bodies after everything went to hell, and I was, oh god, it was just so scary, and the freaking little creatures and the, oh god, and I only had a crowbar for ages, and oh.
To play it again now.
You wanted to play it again?
Based off of my purely pain-ridden explanation of what it was like playing it. This is interesting.
That'll be another game, and Half-Life 2, which is, I'm not even going to count the number of times I've played.
I haven't decided yet whether or not I'm going to complete the game. I'm quite far through it, so I think I might. But the one thing, it's not killing stuff that's been getting in my way, it's the environment. I find it really hard to navigate around with a keyboard, and falling off of ladders is a real issue for me.
It was an interesting time in PC game development where it is a PC shooter, but it's kind of flexing a little bit against the straitjacket. That was just the PC shooter of the time, which was pretty much just to charge through.
I have to admit, because you've been playing a kind of weird way, using the cursor key, so the up, down, left, right ones, rather than WASD or WASD.
I'm using my mouse left-handed at the moment due to RSI concerns.
That makes sense. But that would also make it more
of a... I was having no problem. Oh, what did I play with a keyboard and mouse recently? There was something, and it wasn't too bad. Morrowind. Yeah, that went fine, doing that setup. I killed stuff. I threw some fireballs, it was fine. But moving on, again, Valve-themed, as I kind of suggested. Surviving this year's Steam Summer Sale. We talked about it last year in episode 48. This is episode 94.
Indeed. So 94. Can we first of all have a poll? Who has bought what so far?
Nothing.
Ooh.
I don't have a PC, do I?
Good point.
I have bought Enslaved.
Oh, what a classic. That was brilliant.
Because I have it on 360, but I'm looking at it from the angle of, well, if Microsoft wants to screw us by not having backwards compatibility, then I'll have a PC version. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Monkey Magic.
Mm.
Awesome. Awesome game.
I'm looking forward to replaying that.
I haven't booted it up yet, but I've bought Goat Simulator and I've bought Final Fantasy VIII.
Sorry, did you just say Goat Simulator?
Yes.
I'm looking weird shit this episode, aren't I?
I'm looking forward to watching Paul play that game. Really looking forward to that.
Oh, I've got to do it in your presence then?
Yeah, you do. Okay, on Big Picture as well.
I think we're the only ones that have actually taken advantage of the big picture.
I use it.
Really?
Yeah.
Love using it.
The way we've got our main room set up at the minute, I've got my PC hooked up to 32-inch, TV.
Mm.
And, depending on which game I'm playing, because I like taking screenshots and things, especially if it's something like Bioshock Infinite, where you have gorgeous cityscapes and just things going on in the sky and all sorts. And if you've got the 360 wired controller plugged in, if you hold down the guide button in the middle and press one of the other buttons, it will take a screenshot. Ooh. So no reaching for the keyboard or anything like that.
That's interesting because Em's, she likes using... Well, you should be saying this.
Well, I like using my Xbox 360 controller to play recent-ish PC games. But at the same time, the one I've been using most for screenshots was Skyrim, but I had to still use the keyboard because I needed to get rid of the HUD every time I was trying to take screenshots.
I can see how that, you'd still have to.
But
have you bought anything?
I want to check if anybody else has first, because I've got a long list.
Oh, blimey. is that something well, that I need to know?
I've bought Steam.
David, have you picked up anything?
Yeah, I got the Half-Life series, including the Portal games.
Yay!
Because, like Emily, I've never played any of them, so...
Any?
No. I've played Half-Life 2 in the episodes, gosh darn it.
I just played Portal.
Okay. I've played Portal.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open.
Oh dear.
Not played Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
No.
I've just Googled My Little Pony, you git, so that's...
You're welcome, and I'm sorry.
OK, can transform as costume.
Now, whatever you do, do not Google Brony.
That's just me.
Because that's even further down the rabbit hole than knowing it's been redone.
Speaking of stuff that you shouldn't Google, what the heck is... So I haven't researched it, but what is Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life meant to be?
Just don't. Just don't. If you want to see a good view of it, watch the Fine Brothers YouTubers react.
Okay.
It's funny, but it's also horrific, so avoid it as much as
possible. It's like years ago when I mentioned the horror that was Tub Girl.
Oh, Lord.
To a friend when we were playing online on Xbox Live, and he just said, "What's that?"
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
And I just said, "Don't. Trust me. If you know, if there's anything you trust me on, it's this. Do not look up Tub Girl."
The scars that the internet wears that last longer than any Twitter storm.
Can I just ask, because there have been reports of the Aaron Paul, is it Aaron Paul?
I'm not sure.
The guy from Breaking Bad, when he's doing the Xbox ads, actually turning people's Xboxes on.
Oh, the Xbox Home.
So, I mean, what would happen if he
Xbox
were...
on.
What about if he were to actually turn around and say, Xbox search Tub Girl or something like that? That would be the best troll ever.
Being Tub Girl, which you should never do.
Anyway, yeah,
did you buy anything else?
Yeah, I also got the BioShock series, because again, I've never played.
Oh.
I haven't played any of these games either.
It's not my fault. We had one gaming PC in the house, and my brother ran off with it when he left. So.
Then he went and destroyed the graphics card.
Exactly.
Was
so
that,
had
that same PC?
Yeah.
Oh, blimey.
And I also got the Dungeon Siege series, the three of those for about £4, I think. So.
Please see if you bought anything.
I'll just say, in all seriousness, you are in for a treat. In a way, I'm kind of jealous because
he gets to experience it for the first time again.
Yeah. I just hope you haven't had certain things about BioShock and all of them spoiled.
I've been mercifully unspoiled, I think.
Okay, nobody say anything.
That's fair enough.
you will enjoy them.
Okay, Lucy, I'll get right on that.
Lucy, did you buy anything, dear Lucy?
Yes, I did. I bought Sims 3. What? I've been really excited about Sims 4. I never really got excited about Sims 3 at all. But then I've been watching a lot of Sims 4 videos, people talking about how it's going to be different to The Sims 3. And I've just been thinking, why on earth haven't I played The Sims 3 before? And realising that actually it was completely worth my time. So I bought it for fairly cheap, along with the Pets expansion pack. So I've been playing that and building my houses. There's just some things which I'm just frustrates me a lot. But again, I'll be writing articles for it about it. So yeah, Sims 3.
Did you see the latest webcomic on Hex?
Yes, I did.
Emily wrote the script for that. I only drew it.
Yeah.
And coloured it and whatnot.
I was perhaps less than amused with The Sims 3. Due to his expectations put on me for micromanaging.
I am beginning to wonder which one of us in the group is actually the grumpiest. And from this episode, I think you're coming out ahead of
I have
Metroid.
A cold. Gosh darn it. And it won't leave me alone.
You've stolen my mojo.
Okay. So awesome. Do people want to know what I ended up buying far?
So far.
It's still got time to go.
That's very true.
I have to say, I am. If anyone, if my wife's listening, I'm not looking through Steam right now. I'm not pricing.
Right.
Also, you're Googling Brony instead.
I'm really not.
You bastard,
I'm
just
really
have.
Not.
So I've bought a bunch of stuff. Three things were things that I had wanted for a while. And so I've been looking for the best opportunity to buy them, which include Don't Starve, Miasmata, and Democracy 3.
Ooh.
Because, yeah.
Insert comment about present government.
Yes. Certainly. And I think, actually, I might have bought one of the expansion packs for Democracy 3 as well. Might have been the extremism one.
Bless you.
Thank you.
And, yeah, I haven't played any of them yet because I was busy playing Half-Life over the weekend. And then there was something else I decided to treat myself to. And I'm hoping that at some point in the future I will be able to delight you all with my own Japanese RPG because I went and bought RPG Maker.
Yay!
Yay, construction kits.
Ooh, and, that sounds pretty cool.
And basically, I don't care, obviously, so much about the fighting mechanic stuff. I bought some of the expansions for it as well because they were on sale as well. So I got some cinematic music and like some high fantasy stuff. But I've had in my head the idea for just like a simple RPG for ages.
A parody RPG.
And finally, I can make this come true and just hopefully make people laugh. So that's what I'm hoping to do with it. So that was my biggest purchase, though, picking up that. Because that was more than the other games combined. And those are my only victims so far.
Awesome.
But at the same time, though, was it the state sales running to, is it the 30th?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so payday's Friday. There's still time.
Yeah.
I mean, I must admit, if I had a gaming PC. This is one of the reasons I'm glad I haven't got a gaming PC, because I would be bankrupt.
So what, you hate good for cheap games?
It depends on how well I've done commission-wise, I suppose.
I'll tell you what, get a gaming PC and then play Team Fortress 2 with me all day.
You would love that.
I would.
Yeah, you would.
Seriously though, there is some really good games I'd have bought, like Witcher 2 I'd have bought easily. DayZ. I've heard good things about that. It is a really good idea, and I don't understand why, considering how many years they've been doing this for, why PlayStation and Microsoft don't do something similar.
It might be because their networks wouldn't be able to cope, but then Steam barely does either. Cheap.
Yeah, I'd imagine they'd want as much money as they can.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious here, of you know, the people here who have a Steam account, how many games do you have?
Ooh.
Not
as many as you.
Steam.
I have less.
Yeah, that's probably safe.
I have less than 100.
Okay.
I only got it recently, so I think I've got about 30.
So. Okay.
30. I've only got, let's see, Sims, Skyrim, Lego. Worms, I have 6 games! Yay!
I'd say I've probably got maybe 25, 30.
Okay, I knew what was going to happen when I asked, so I shouldn't really be surprised.
You've got 369, haven't you?
Nope.
480.
Almost.
502.
No, you're slightly overestimated.
Never.
400?
I have 475 games on Steam.
How do you find time to play them?
The answer is I don't.
Most of them, I
haven't played.
It's always the case because just the heavy amount of discounts on Steam that inevitably you fill your library up with stuff that you haven't played and you might not even get around to playing.
But also it could be games that you have played on a different format.
Yeah.
That's it as well. Mine is a combination of things. I've got a whole raft of games that I'd bought again that I played through on either 360 or PS3. Hmm. No, or earlier.
Yeah.
It's like I've got I played through the first two Batman Arkham games on 360.
Yay.
But I've now got the three of them on Steam.
No, you've got Origins as well now.
Yeah. I didn't buy that on 360. I just bought it on PC because at the time it was, well, I can get it cheaper on Steam than I can boxed.
Yeah.
So I'll just buy it.
With the Batman games, do you use the gamepad or do you prefer keyboard and mouse?
If it's a console conversion, as most games are, I'll use the pad.
Okay.
Because if you're playing something like Assassin's Creed, you need all the controls in your hand rather than trying to, you know, skate halfway across a keyboard just to press, you know, like P or something like that to, you know, activate a particular function. So most of the time, you know, if it was years ago when they were having real trouble trying to get, you know, all the controls onto a joypad.
Yeah.
But now they've worked it out. You know, they worked out how to, you know, map all the controls, even when there's, you know, there's more controls than there are buttons.
Yeah.
They know now, you know, there are sort of set methods of doing switches, you know, to change the functions. So, you know, that's fine. Most of the time I play with a joypad, but if it's of course a, you know, particularly PC game, then obviously yeah, I'll be doing mouse and keyboard.
Hmm.
And there are some games which I refuse to play on, you know, controller. So things like Half-Life 2, you know, that has to be mouse and keyboard.
Hmm.
You see, when I played Half-Life 2 and the episodes, that was as part of the Orange Box on the 360, so I was playing with controller.
Oh, yeah, it works fine on controller. I've got no issue with it, you know, on controller as well. It's just I played it through on PC first, so
I am kind of wishing I could play Half-Life with a controller at this point.
Well, technically you can, because I think we do have it for the PlayStation 2.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to boot up the PS2 for that. I have the feeling it could be an if. Does anyone know what the port was like?
I've got it, unsurprisingly, because yeah, I've also got it on Dreamcast. Even though it never officially came out, don't tell anyone.
Okay.
It was in development, but apparently it got cancelled due to a, you know, the Dreamcast wasn't doing well, so they just decided to cancel it rather than release it. It was complete.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's reasonably well done. And as a bonus, there's an exclusive two-player, say about maybe half an hour mission.
Cool.
With, if I'm remembering rightly, two female scientists.
Ooh.
Which it's split screen, and it's, you know, various puzzles where, you know, one person has to go into a room and the other person has to, you know, manipulate things from a control panel, you know, blah blah blah, and, you know, the other one has to, you know, do this and that and the other. It works reasonably well, so there's that as an advantage of the, you know, the PS2 version. So yeah, you could give that a look.
Going back to Steam sale for a moment, has everyone so far felt that who has been looking and buying, does it feel like this year's had a reasonable variety?
I know, to be honest, because I feel like I'm actually quite conservative when it comes to buying games now. So if I don't think that I'll be playing them anytime soon, I won't bother buying them, even when they're like 75% off.
Is this after getting stung by buying, like, I know, like the Rockstar bundle or something previously?
Yeah, I think to a certain extent, because, you know, yes, it is quite nice being able to kind of hop on, you know, kind of GTA or GTA 4 or whatever. But there's just so many games that on there that is like, yeah, I'm not going to really be playing that because it doesn't really take my interest.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You say the, you know, the Rockstar games, I managed to pick up the bundle in one of the previous sales, which was just stupid value, where it included all the GTA games.
Mm. They also have, like, Bully and stuff as well.
No. This was just the GTA bundle.
I know the bundle that I got had GTAs plus Bully.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
Bully, I'm never sure, because I hated school. So, why should I do that to myself? I loved learning, I just hated school.
Fair enough.
I did, because the Steam sale, I'm not necessarily like a super big fan of Steam, it's just that I have been given very little reason to move outside of their ecosystem on PC. of lately. And I keep wondering about services like Good Old Games.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're fairly good. My wife got Miasma on Good Old Games a few weeks back, so she's been playing through that. I haven't played it yet.
How are the prices in comparison?
They can be pretty good. And the advantage is you don't have the DRM. That's, you know, part of the deal of, you know, Good Old Games. So, you know, the idea is, you know, we trust you. So, as an example, if I buy something on Steam and she wants to play it, then, you know, whereas it's not as convenient as it is on a console where you can just buy the game and you've got the disc. And then, you know, your other half logs on with their profile and that's it. Steam still has that pain in the ass where it has to be logged on. It has to be on the same account. You can't just play it, you know, on a different account.
Yeah.
So she has it on her PC as well, and she'll just, you know, go offline and play a game.
It does make me wonder how they're going to move ahead with things like the sort of the Steam boxes, because if they're whole trying to, like, place it in, like, people's living rooms, and, you know, it's like, oh, like, the whole family's got access to it. Have they got, because they have got a weird kind of family library sherry thing you can sign up for now, haven't they?
Yeah, it's almost, but not quite. It's, I think the deal is, if my wife had her own Steam account, you know, which she does, there's just, you know, very little on it. Then I could authorize her account to share it, and then she could download some of those games that are on my list, and she could play them on her account. So long, I think the restriction is so long as I'm not online, which does rather piss on the idea of playing co-op.
Yeah,
that's what really annoys me there, because part of the whole reason for doing something like that, to my mind, would be things like Borderlands.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing like that, or Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
Have to say that, or, I think that's why they kind of distribute it as kind of a four-pack at times as well.
Yes.
So they can kind of do that kind of thing.
But to me, that's kind of, it's more of a workaround.
Hmm.
Whereas we played through stuff like Left 4 Dead on 360 as split screen.
Yeah.
And that's great, but when it comes to actually playing it on PC over LAN in our own house, apparently there's a hell of a lot of, you know, hoops you have to jump through just to make it sure everything's working right.
Mm.
So it's just, yeah. To my mind, they need to make it a little bit more friendly, like, you know, PlayStation Network and Xbox Live, when it comes to, you know, the rights restrictions.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, I prefer Steam and the sales. And things like Humble Bundles, which is where I got, you know, most of my titles from. But when it comes to things like the DRM and the sharing, that to me is a little bit of a stumbling block to the living room mode.
Hmm. I have to admit, I've noticed, I think one of the posts on MemeBase, kind of the game section on that, it had basically E3 2014, Year of the Multiplayer. Would you kind of agree with that or not?
They're definitely pushing multiplayer.
But very little of it is same console.
Hmm.
Yeah, and it's like, come on, the present machines definitely have, as in, you know, PS4 and Xbox, definitely have enough power to do that, as do, you know, a gaming PC.
Once more, you know, because it's all high definition and we've got all large TVs now, you know, it's not that much of an issue, you know, compared to, you know, playing GoldenEye on a, you know, 28-inch or even like 24-inch TV.
You know,
we coped with that one. And that
N64 resolution, that was a...
Yeah.
That was definitely something that you had to be dedicated to do. But it was doable, and it's, as an example, the one that I always, you know, bring up in the, it's like, come on, you know, with the whole, oh, but consoles, blah, blah, blah. Halo was an Xbox launch game and that had split screen co-op.
That's the reason I played Halo, was because of the split screen.
Exactly. It's the reason I became a Halo fan, not the multiplayer, which I have played, but it's very samey. Mm.
Yeah. It's the co-op campaign.
Yeah, exactly. So I would like all this co-op to be, all this multiplayer to be co-op, but they seem to be, pushing it more as a adversarial thing, and it's just I can't really be asked. And the drop out, it's like piss off. I've got my game time here. If you try and come into my game, I just will kill you.
I still think we should do some sort of multiplayer videos at some point.
Yes.
So I was kind of most day I was watching this one channel who was basically doing like loads of multiplayer stuff with Grand Theft Auto 5, and some of it was quite good.
I just want to take this back to Steam Summer Sale for a moment. There was one thing about it that does annoy me. On the day it started last week, which was, Thursday, I think? The servers were so overloaded that I was trying to log in through their phone app to have a look on my computer. And it was just like, nah. In fact, it was claiming that I had the wrong password, and I didn't. It was just being completely and utterly pants. It worked the weekend. And it's just kind of like, this happens every year. Like, the access is a bit iffy at certain times of day. Basically, when the Americans are about, the access gets really iffy, as far as I can tell. I just do wonder if Valve could perhaps, put some resources aside to actually try and offload some of the traffic more effectively during the sale.
Can I just ask, because it seems like David and Lucy may have nodded off.
Not quite.
Okay. Have you had any kind of either bad experiences or particularly good experiences with Steam?
Well, like I say, I only just got it quite recently, so this is my first Steam sale. So, all seems to be going all right so far.
Yeah, I think it's been all right at my end as well. I haven't really... I have issues with Origin, but not with Steam, so that's good.
Everyone has issues with Origin.
I
have issues with Uplay.
Mm. One thing that because I hate about...
I like some of my Ubisoft games, and...
One thing that I hate about Origin is that they... basically, because of their service, they didn't allow Mass Effect 3, and I believe Dead Space 3 as well, on Steam.
Yeah. I have the first two Dead Spaces on Steam, and I have the third one on Origin.
What about Dragon Age?
Joy.
I have the first Dragon Age on Steam, and Dragon Age 2 is
Origin.
Yeah. So it's really messed quite a lot of people up for, trying to continue over their stuff.
Yeah, I bought Sims 3 on Steam because it was cheaper, and I think I just prefer the whole interface of it as well, so...
Well, that's a good point, actually. If they actually said what they're doing about 4 in terms of, is it going to be Origin only or will it be on Steam?
I imagine it would probably just be Origin only. I can't see it anywhere else. No. But then I'm not interested in the online aspect of it, so it doesn't really matter to me, but...
I have to admit, it's always struck me as kind of weird because there's always been like services underneath Steam as well. I remember booting up, Grand Theft Auto 4 for the first time, and it kind of demanded that I kind of sign into the Xbox account and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, was that Games Windows Live?
Yeah. I reckon, it's basically just arbitrary that EA just doesn't want people to use, Steam for their games.
I think the main issue is, of course, every game that's sold on Steam, Valve take a cut.
Mm.
So that's why EA don't want their games on there. Because then, if you have to buy it on Origin, you're giving them all the money, and Valve aren't.
All the money.
Yeah. Yeah, show me the money. Not just our cut, all the money.
It's always what it boils down to nowadays, isn't it?
But I mean, when it comes to the other services as well. I mean, so I know that with Steam you get very good voice chat and very quite good typing chat and stuff like that.
And screenshots.
Sorry.
And screenshots. You don't get screenshots on Origin.
Really?
No. Not really, no.
Wow.
It's like, surprise! It is this crap. Ding!
Well...
That is the main problem, because they've got, you know, their steam with the, this is what we're doing, look at what we're doing. And then things like, you know, Uplay and Origin come along and just don't get it right. But with most of the Ubi games, just thinking that, you can still buy most of them on Steam. It's just they will then require Uplay.
Yeah.
So who knows, maybe Origin, you know, maybe EA will do that with Origin games, but I have a suspicion it's like, no, they'll just push you to use their crap.
I'm afraid I do believe this is all we have got time for this week.
You do believe indeed.
I do believe indeed. This is all we've got time for. It's goodbye from...
From me, David Hurd. You can find me writing over on Hex Dimension.
I've been Lucy Cokes. I am at the Bibliogeek on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and SuperRetroid on Twitter.
It's good night from me, Paul, aka OneArmed_Cookie on Twitter. And you can find my pieces up on HexDimension and TheGameJar.com.
And it's good night from me, Paul Blewett. And I'm on Twitter as @PaulBlewett. And I've got a website, Paul-Blewett.com.
That was incredibly fast.
Thank you.
It's good night from me, Emily King. You can find me on Twitter as EK6891, where hopefully I will not give you a cold. You can find Nerd Assemble over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're also available on iTunes and Stitcher. You can find Nerds on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. And we're on Facebook and Google+ as Nerds Assemble Podcast. And don't forget to check out hexdimension.com, where we all write loads of cool shizzle. Like, yay! I'll be totally telling you just how truly terrified I was playing Half-Life.
It gets really in-depth.
It's really in-depth. Tomorrow, in theory. And when I say tomorrow, I mean today for you guys listening. So, yeah. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
G.I. Joe.